Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you. How's everybody doing tonight? I trust y'all have enjoyed the food and the music and some of y'all the door prizes. But it's good to be with y'all tonight and see a lot of familiar faces and some new faces. Anyway, as my wife Shelly said, I have to remember to say my wife Shelly. When we go out to the facilities, a lot of times you're not supposed to tell your family members' names. I get used to saying my wife, my wife, my wife. And so I have to remember to say Shelly, my wife. So anyway... So I will say my wife. But anyway, as she said, I'm Marty McKenzie, and it's good to be with y'all tonight. And thank all of y'all for coming and coming to hear what the Lord's doing in the ministry and what He's doing in our lives. And I just wanted to share with you just a little bit. I know some of y'all may have heard a little bit of this, but, you know, I sent out a newsletter not too long ago. But I guess in December, starting December the 14th, we'll be... 20 years, if the Lord lets me live another couple of months, we'll have been doing this. I've been doing this since December the 14th, 1997. And went out to Effingham. It's just all the Lord, the glory, you know. He's the one that called me, and one of the guys that wasn't here, Dave Wilson, he was one of the guys that I talked to, and I said, well, I think I'm called to do prison ministry, and he gave me a lady's name, and she gave me like the third degree, and then she pointed me to the chaplain, and I called him, and he said, can you come this Sunday? I'm like, scared me to death, right? Yeah, I'm like, well, I'll call you back in a couple of days, because I'd actually, tomorrow will be the date of the first sermon I ever preached. And it was as a men's ministry leader over at Calvary Baptist Temple. And we were members over there at the time, and I was leading the men's ministry. But I called the guy, and he said, can you come this Sunday? And I said, well, let me call you back in a couple of days, because I had only done one sermon. And so I was kind of like, well, can I get something together, right? And so as I went, I was scared to death, and on the way back, I felt like I flew home. You know, some of y'all have heard that story before, but I just, you know, when God's in it, sometimes people have asked me, are you scared as you go in and minister in these prisons and these jails? You know, there was one night I was kind of scared. There was a couple of guys trying to intimidate me. Other than that, they caught me off guard that night. But other than that, when you call to do this, this is where the Lord puts you. And He just gives you a holy want to do this. And I'm just so thankful that He's called me and He's allowed me to be doing this for the last almost 20 years. Y'all clap for me, but don't clap for me. Clap for the Lord. Amen. And, as I always told people, I'm more like Moses. You know, Moses was a great man. Now, I'm not saying I'm a great man. What I'm saying is I didn't want to get up in front of people and speak and talk and do all of these things. Just like Moses said, I can't talk. But, you know, God, He takes the areas where you're the most afraid sometimes, and the areas where you're out of your comfort zone. And that's where He'll put you a lot of times. And He does that because what does He want us to do? Depend on Him, right? And unless we depend on Him, folks, we're never going to be able to do anything for this, for our Lord and Savior. Like I said, it's not about me, but it's about the Lord. And we used to call this a nursing home, jail, and prison ministry, and I don't know what you call it anymore, but in 1997, I started going to the prison. 1999, when Shelly's daddy was in the nursing home, we started going to the nursing home. And 2000, I got laid off from Gulfstream, and that was God's plan to put me in the ministry. You know, it took another 3 years for the Lord to kind of work on me and chisel me down to the place that He wanted to be. He was like the guy that I used to work for at Gulfstream, and He kind of put a hurting on me one time, and when he finally admitted it one day, and he says, you see, Marty, he said, he used to be 6 foot tall. And he finally admitted that he whittled me down to size. But he didn't know that he was the Lord's instrument. You know, and the Lord will use anybody and anything to get us to the place where he can use us. You know, my prayer for me and my prayer for all of our guys and the ministry, all of our volunteers, and for y'all too, is that we would serve the Lord. It doesn't matter if you come alongside His Love Ministries. I've been telling people for years. Of course, now I can say that we kind of covered a gamut from kids all the way to the oldest of the older folks, right? So we covered a whole gamut, but back in the day, I tell folks, it doesn't matter where you minister, as long as you're doing something for the Lord, that's where He's called you, right? And that's my prayer for all of y'all. And I'm just so thankful for Brandon and Lonnie, and as, you know, the Lord put me out in the field doing His ministry in 2003. Basically, I began to go into more and more places, and the Lord just kept opening doors, and we've had a few people full-time and part-time working here and there for us, and it's amazing. I was thinking last night about some of the things that have happened, and I'm going to maybe embarrass a couple of these guys a little bit, but I don't know if I should tell them, Brandon, or not. Can I tell you a story, Brandon, how we met?
Oh, okay.
But you know, it's not really embarrassing, but it's. I didn't ask him permission. If you don't want me to, just hit me. I was playing ball with Ronnie, and we had been over at Coastal Harbor a few years ago. We started going out there, and we were only doing a couple of services a week, right, out there at Coastal Harbor with the kids and the adults. And we were doing a couple of services a month over at the adult facility, and we were doing a couple of services a week over at the kids' facility. And we were sitting there playing softball. I sat down next to him, and he said, "Man, I need to be doing something besides playing softball. I need to be out doing something for the Lord." I said, "Well, guess what, son? I got more opportunities you can shake a stick at. So let's talk." And, you know, took a couple of months, and finally one Sunday he was able to go out to the Coastal Harbor, and he says, "All right, I could go this Sunday." He went out there, and he's been there ever since. And so he's really expanded that ministry and grown that, and I'm thankful for him and what the Lord's doing there. And Matt, you know, he came alongside of us through another church we were at, and we had put an adoptive nursing home ministry program together. And if you want to get involved in that, it's coming up on Christmas. We try to adopt the people in the nursing homes that don't have family and get them a little small gift. And so it's sort of like the shoebox ministry, but on a much smaller scale. And so he saw that in the bulletin, and he came and he talked to me, and turns out his father-in-law had done nursing home ministry, and next thing you know, he was helping me, and I'm trying to remember exactly how Eric came on board. I don't know. I think it was through Martha Jenkins, I think, and one day she introduced us, and somehow or another we got to talking, and next thing you know, he began to help me here and there in the nursing homes in different places. And the last guy here, Brandon, I was listening to, anybody ever listen to Dr. Carl Brogy on 88.7 FM? Well, I was listening to him one morning on the Bible line, and I didn't realize that I was actually listening to a recorded message. I heard this guy on there saying, you know, the church I'm going, I'm just kind of struggling, I'm not really being fed, and I want to serve the Lord, and I'm doing this, and I'm trying to do some stuff, and he was trying to serve the Lord, and nobody was really kind of mentoring him and helping him and stuff, and I just kind of said, "Man, Lord, I'd love to have a guy like that. Man, I need him." And I started to get on the phone and call, and I said, "Well, they probably don't know the number, and they probably wouldn't give it to me anyway," and I didn't have quite as close a relationship at that time as I do now with Rick Forshner and Community Bible Church over there in Beaufort with Dr. Carl Brogy. But I started to call, and I realized later that they wouldn't even a live program. I was listening to it on an MP3 player or something like that. About a year later, I don't even remember how it was, but somehow or another, Ronnie was asking over at one of the churches, I guess where George and them were going, and asking about some people, and we'd been with George Mitchell and them, and somehow or another he knew of some people, and knew of Brandon, and we met, and then all of a sudden I found out, wow, this is the guy that was on the radio that was asking the questions about what he needed to do. And I said, wow, a year later, the Lord answered my prayer. Here's that guy that I said that I wanted. Here's this guy that has a heart for the Lord and a heart to do ministry. And I'm just so thankful for the guys that we've got and our volunteers. And, Sherry's really stepped up to the plate over there at the Youth Detention Center. And she's been helping out over at Coastal Harbor. And she's just been a blessing to us. And so many more. So many of these people have been helping for years. Miss Barbara Johnson and I can't even name them all. Shirley May and Billy Miller. And I might, if we got a minute or two, I might let him say something in a minute. But Carrie Thompson, that's not here. I started going to Effingham Prison in 1997, and he started going in 1998. And he goes for me almost every third Sunday ever since then. He's been there. And very rarely does he not go. He's faithful. Every once in a while he'll call me and tell me, I can't be there this month. Can you go fill in for me? He told me one day, he said, Marty, he says, they don't even know you over there. All they know is me. And the only way you're going to get in there is through me. I said, wait a minute, I know Brother Andrews. He's the one that got me in the first time. He said, don't think you got me. And most of all, I'm just thankful for my wife, Shelley. A few years ago, she was doing sewing with Pam Rohde, and the Lord just put on my heart to ask her to come alongside me and help me, because I was kind of doing most of the stuff, right? One point I was everything. I was even doing the website. It didn't look very good, but it was pretty pitiful, but I was doing the website and I was doing everything. So the Lord just said, why don't you ask your wife to help you? And over the years, the Lord's, well, he immediately kind of began to change her heart and change her desires. And I'm just so thankful for her, because it is true, behind every halfway decent man, there's a really good woman. And and as everybody tells me, Marty, you know you married way above your station, don't you? And I say, amen. That's most of us guys, right? So I don't know what else really to say, but I guess I should turn it over to somebody else since I've run out of steam. Who's up?
Matt.
All right, Matt.
All right, Marty says it's a phone up here so that I know how long I have to speak tonight. I'm going to take my watch off just as a backup here. I've been doing nursing home ministry. My name is Matt Gallant. I've been doing nursing home ministry with Marty over here. You're talking to Ronnie. You got me mixed up on names. With Marty over here for coming up on 5 years. I can remember when I started, because I left the hospital after our first child was born to go over to Haversham House to preach a service. And she's now in pre-K. So I've been doing this for a little while now. I've never been afraid for my life, but maybe for the lives of a few of the people that I'm ministering to, I think maybe I better get to the gospel a little bit quicker, because they might not have much time left. But I tell you, it's been such a wonderful blessing. The book of Proverbs 16, verse 31 says that gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. To stand up and minister to people who they have socks older than I am, and they have so many years of wisdom, of faithfulness to the Lord, it's just a wonderful thing. It's incredible. You truly experience what Jesus said, that when you care for the least of these brethren of His, you're doing it for Him. And you really you have a sense of that, that you can see Christ in the worship of some of these folks. I remember Miss Alberta Candy. She, every time she would tell me what church she used to go to, I got a chance to speak to her daughter. But she was the women's ministry director at her church. And there was a missions wing at her church that was dedicated in her honor. I mean, she had just done so much for missions all throughout the years, and she was always there every time I would come. Every time any pastor would come to the nursing home, they would go get Miss Alberta, and she was always there. And I think of Bill Morgan, Brother Bill Morgan. He was a guy at the place in Puller. And he said he was a soul winner. And he said, you know, when I'm in the hospital, when I'm in the nursing home, I don't mind it too much because I've got a captive audience. They can't go anywhere. They have to sit and I get to share the gospel with them. Right? And it was just such a blessing to hear that perspective. I mean, even when you're going through hard times, God brings people in your life, and you have the opportunity to be a blessing to them. And I just want y'all to know that we couldn't do what we do without y'all. And we're so grateful for all of the prayers. It makes such a big difference. Nothing of eternal value is accomplished without prayer. We wouldn't be able to do anything without the Lord working through us. And that only happens when we're on our knees in prayer. So we appreciate your prayer. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you coming out tonight, and hope that it's a blessing to you. Thank y'all. I'm going to pass it on. All right, Brandon.
I'll lift my watch up here so you know what
you're doing. All right. Hey, how you doing? My name is Brandon Beard. So, you know, we go to, I go to Georgia Regional Monday through Saturday. And I go to Coastal Harbor on Tuesday and Thursday to help out Ronnie. Like Matt was talking about, nothing of eternal value happens without prayer. And nothing you do for God is lost, even though you might not see it. And lately, I was thinking, you sometimes you get spiritual amnesia. And you forget how you even got it started. And you know, in the beginning, you have the fire and you're running and you're running and you're running. Sometimes you get a little tired, but then you get re-energized and run some more. And lately, I've been running on E though. And we're talking about Marty, and he was talking about how we began, and that got your mind going and stuff. And sometimes God gives you those little glimpses of why you're doing it. So we're gonna talk about this man named Walter that I recently met. And he was at, met him at Coastal Harbor treatment facility. So he comes in and we're given a message. I think I was going from John chapter 3, talking about the new birth and talking about how Jesus is God and the Son of God and all that good stuff. And afterwards he wanted to talk. And then Walter's telling me that, you know, everything he's saying sounds good, but he just can't accept the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. He's coming from a Muslim background, and he just couldn't see it. And he was in darkness. He went and received Christ. But then he kept coming, though. Every time we were there, he came around. He saw him a few times. He kept coming. He kept hearing message after message after message after message. And then maybe over a month, maybe a month and a half to 2 months, one day he just comes in there, and we're talking. And afterwards, I'm like, okay. What I'm going to say, we're going to have the same conversation. Because literally, we're having the same conversation every time. And he comes up and said he received Christ. He received Christ. He gave his heart to the Lord, not at a service that we were doing, but maybe in one of those rooms, or maybe during the day he picked up the Bible and he was reading some of the scriptures that we left him, and he gave his life to God. And for the past couple of weeks, I've been giving him a ride to church with my family. And sometimes, you know, what we do, especially with the treatment facilities, you don't get to see those instances. You don't get to see those transformations from the beginning to the end, and you wonder if what you're doing really making that big impact that you thought. Are people getting saved and all that stuff? And that renews you and that gives you that energy. And the thing I want to say about His Love is that I'm thankful for His Love Ministry, because God used His Love Ministry to show me so many things, to grow me, to humble me, to give me opportunity to be about my Father's business every single day. And lately, that refueled me to see the passion that Walter have at just getting saved and asking all these questions. And my church is like an hour away. So when we're driving, we have a lot to talk about. He has a lot of questions, so that's good. And it also getting me back into the scriptures, not that I wasn't in the scriptures, but some stuff you need to refresh your mind, because he's asking some questions and you're like, I want to be accurate. You know, I don't want to, I'll be held accountable for what I say. So it gets you going back to make sure you answer his questions properly. It reminds you why you do this. It reminds you the cause, you know, everything going on in the world, and people need Jesus. They need Jesus, not just for salvation, which is the ultimate need, but some of the things that's going on now. Jesus will be the answer. We don't rely on government. We don't rely on men. We don't rely on our leaders. We rely on Jesus Christ. He's the answer. He's the one that changes the hearts of men. And if you change a man's heart through giving him a heart of flesh and removing that heart of stone that only Christ can, then you start to see change around that man. And then 1 + 1 + 1 + 1, just like, well, it had the 12 disciples, right? And the flame throughout the whole world. So all I would say is I'm thankful for his love ministry. I'm thankful for what y'all did for me. I'm thankful for what y'all did for Walter. And I'm thankful for what Jesus Christ is doing through all of us, all of our brothers and sisters that's in here that care enough to reach out to other people and care enough about their society, care enough about lost souls to do something about it. All Christ asks us is to be faithful in a little. Just be faithful in a little. So I thank y'all, and that's it. All right.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Eric Lacanilau, and it's a privilege and such a blessing to be a part of His Love Ministry. I work with the youth at the Youth Attention Center. You know, I recall many instances last year. It was a struggle. It was very challenging. There was so many interruptions from, you know, the youth. The disruption was always so loud, it would pretty much disrupt the whole lesson. But that was last year, and praise God, this year is 100 times better. We go to Bible study this year, and you know, the past few months, and when we finish, they're like, hey, are you coming back Sunday? When are you coming back again? So it's a great improvement at the Youth Attention Center. You know, we have, you know, kids in these units, you know, before they would be playing their game, the PlayStations, and that was an interruption. And now they're eager. When we pray, they bow their heads and they're quiet. So it's a great improvement. And I can see, you know, the faith, you know, growing and getting and improving. And I can truly see why God, you know, sees these children. They're very precious in His eyes. Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Amen? So I would like to ask you to continue to pray for the Youth Attention Center, and also Greenbrier. I go to Greenbrier. It's been a struggle there, because last month, we had a lot of services got canceled, because it's not mandatory, so they volunteer to come, the kids do. And when they, you know, they have every opportunity to not show or not go, and they do. They don't show up, and they don't want to go. And it's, you know, it's sad, but that's, you know, the world we live in. So, you know, being a part of His Love Ministry, you bring the light and the truth to these kids. They're listening to lies every day. But, you know, but we're not limited to what we see. We continue to go and pray that the Lord will bring the souls to listen to His word. Amen? And one of the other places I go to is Coastal State Prison. Coastal State Prison, I'm always impressed by these men. They love the Lord. They, you know, we have Thursday night Bible studies. We have church service once every Sunday, and they're always eager. They're paying close attention when we have Bible studies, and I can tell they love the Lord by the way they worship. You know, by the way they worship, And you know, we would think that sometimes, oh yeah, these men deserve to be there, but you know, it's not our role to judge them, but you know, we give them a chance to hear God's word, you know, just as we have, you know, been given the, you know, the gift of salvation. You know, I mean, if we don't go, then who else? You know, who else would go? In Luke 7:47 says that whoever has been forgiven loves a lot. And I can tell these men in these prisons, they love the Lord by the way. They express their praise. And, you know, I don't have anything to give them but the word of God. And, you know, somehow they get fed, you know. And in our Bible study, I'm just truly amazed. The power of God at work in men. God used broken lives. You know, where would we all be if it wasn't for the Lord's amazing grace?
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's knowing how God is using me and using His love ministry. It's very humbling to see, you know, and it's also such a tremendous blessing that God is using His love ministry in the prison. Another service that we go to is a Terror Nursing Home. And in Terror Nursing Home, you know, I get to be the one to bring the word into some senior citizens. And they have just such a joy to go. One lady who I just saw last Sunday, she's turning 99 next month. Yep, 99. Yes. And the very first night or first service I met her, she testified about how God healed her back, and she broke her back, and she was so joyful sharing the story. When she first came to the service, she said, she walked in, she's like, "Where's everybody?" You know, and it was just so wonderful to see at her age, you know, excited to come to church. Amen. Your support in His love ministry helps advance the gospel to reach those that don't have the opportunity to hear the word. And then these wonderful stories are not just stories. They hold eternal joy, both to myself and to the, as a God servant, and in ministering the word of God to them, and definitely to those who have experienced them, these stories in their hearts. Thank you so much for your prayer, for your support. When you give to His love ministry, it has eternal rewards in the lives of the people you're blessing. Amen? All right. God bless you.
I'm going to sneak Billy Miller in 2 minutes. He says he can do 2 minutes. Let's see.
I can't clear my throat in 2 minutes. Got to watch on me. Anyway, it's a joy to be here. I was checking with Marty about how long I'd been involved in this ministry. And I started in 2004. And I was a member then at Isle of Hope Methodist Church teaching Sunday school. And Marty told me that I spoke at a funeral down here for a dear beloved friend of ours, both Ricky Lanier, who I grew up with. Anyway, he passed and I spoke. So Marty asked me to go to the, come speak at, to those at John Wesley Villas. So that started in 2004. So it's been a great time. The people there that I speak to are just wonderful. And we have a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, there's many a time that I don't want to go, but when I go and share the love of Jesus to those people, I'm the one that receives the blessing.
Amen.
I mean, I really do, and they just look for it. Matter of fact, I've got a Catholic retired priest that's there. I call him Friar Tuck. And y'all remember that from Robin Hood. And but the reason my name's not on the menu tonight is because they didn't want to have the Pope from Isle of Hope come here to see me. but anyway, so. But it's just been a great time. Like I said, I started out with so many people, and so many of them have passed away. And I will say this, Marty, this is beautiful. I don't take any music over there to books. It was Miss Becky. Do you know Miss Becky? So she'll be in bed with a nurse right there with her, and I'll open the door and say, "Miss Becky, we fixing to have sing along." She plays the piano. Hey. She'll come out in them pajamas, buddy, and she's at that piano just that quick. And I put the light on, but it's just a great time that those folks look so forward to you coming. Because that's their church. I mean, that's their church. One thing the church has lost, all of our churches.
Amen.
One thing that we've lost, all churches, I want to tell you, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples. We are not doing that, people. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. And anyway, from this, God used this as a catalyst when he called me into the ministry in 2008. And I've been at Idaho Baptist Church ever since. I went there to help them find a preacher. And the other night we was talking about it, and I said, I came there to help y'all find a preacher. They said, we still looking, but just not quite as hard as that.
Hey, everybody. My name is Ronnie Nichols. I'm the chaplain at Coastal Harbor Treatment Facilities. I'm very impressed with Brandon and Matt and Eric all saving their time limit. Marty went over 3 minutes. But to ask a Baptist preacher to speak 5 minutes is the same 5 minutes that you ladies say you'll be ready in. And the same 5 minutes that your husband says he'll be in the house in. Amen? And so y'all know what that 5 minutes is about. I'm going to try to keep it really short and really brief, but it's hard to hold in what the Lord is doing through His Love Ministries. I just can't even begin to tell you the lives that have been changed and the privilege and joy it's been to work with Marty, with Shelley, and with all of you out there. There's so many volunteers out here in this audience that are kind of being quiet right now. They're back in their seats and they're sitting there and they've done a lot. And I just want to thank each of y'all. It's a joy anytime I see any of y'all faces out in the field. And I want to thank y'all for that. So I want to share a couple Bible verses with you, and I want to share a little bit of a testimony with you. First of all, let's see what we got here. I want to share something with you. It says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and him who will be humbled will be exalted. Then Jesus said to the man who invited him, when you host a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may invite you in return and you'll be repaid. But when you host a banquet, invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. Now, tonight, we've had a banquet, and we've invited all of our rich friends here. We're the church. We're the physical church. And a lot of times, we try to act like there's nothing wrong with us. We got it together. We're okay. And we did invite you here, and hopefully, the favor will be returned. Because the body is the body, and we need one another. We need, and everybody in here has been given different gifts and different abilities and different callings in their lives. And for some of you ladies in this room, those nights that you spend praying for our ministry or praying for the body, it doesn't go unheeded and it doesn't go unanswered. And those prayers are answered. And for some of you in here that support us financially, I can promise you that every dollar that we spend in here goes towards the kingdom's work. It's a blessing to know what we get done with what we have. We've invited you here for a banquet tonight, but I don't think that's the banquet that Jesus was talking about. He's talking about the day when we're all going to be together in heaven. Amen. And we're going to break that bread together and drink that wine together in His presence again and thank Him for what He's done for us. And so what we're supposed to do is go out into the highways and the hedges and compel the poor and the lame and the blind and the halt to come into the banquet. And that's the gospel message we've been given. And that's the privilege that we've been given to go into the prisons and into the nursing homes and into the clinics and give to people to let them know that God has not forgotten them. And He showed them how much He loved them when He sent His Son and had Him pour His blood out on a tree for broken folks that wear nice clothes, and for broken folks that don't have any. He loves you, and He loves them. And we've been given the chance and the opportunity to go out and give that to those people. And I just want to tell you really quickly what we do at Coastal Harbor. And I say we, and I mean that. Miss Sherry and Miss Esther, Miss Patricia, Shelley, for all of the people that come out there and work with us, we have 8 units of kids. I have about 120 children out there from the ages of 7 to 18. It's a level 6 facility, which means most of these kids in here are either suicidal or homicidal. They're some of the hardest, hardened kids that you will ever meet. And we get an opportunity to go each week and give them at least an hour of Bible study and a church service every Sunday. and we see their lives affected. Some of these kids couldn't show you Genesis in a Bible if you paid them. But when you go in and start sharing His love with them, they hear it, they receive it, they believe it, and it changes their lives. And it's a privilege to do that. So we have eight units of kids. Then we have two units. Me and Brandon work at the two units of adult drug and alcohol detox. We have one unit of psych patients, which is bipolar schizophrenia. It's my favorite group. I call them my people. They sing the loudest, and they have the best time at church. And it's excuse me. It's amazing to watch somebody who is out of it hear the gospel and see a tear coming. It's amazing. His love is able to reach through all of that darkness and all of that sadness and all of that pain and open their hearts to the beauty of who He is. And that's the privilege that we get. We get the privilege of going out and sharing that with these people and seeing their lives turn around, just like Walter, like Brandon was talking about, and seeing people. And I have a unit of people that have all tried to commit suicide. You want to talk about rock bottom? You can't get any further rock bottom than that. And what's so beautiful about that? Jesus is a rock. And when they get there, they're ready to receive Him. And all it takes is somebody going there and sharing it with them. Amen? So I do want to share one testimony with you. Marty asked us to do a testimony. excuse me. I went in last Sunday to do a service at a drug and alcohol detox unit. And there was a man about my age with his head down. He wouldn't look at me. He was wearing paper clothes, which means they wouldn't allow him his regular clothes. He was in paper clothes. And he wouldn't look at me. And when I started to speak, he spoke to me and he said, "Sir, can I please speak with you after the service is over with?" And so the whole service, I shared the gospel with everybody. And he's sitting in the front row and I can literally see him sobbing. I can see him sobbing. And he's not looking up, but I can watch the tears of a grown man dropping and soaking that paper suit. He couldn't look up, and it reminded me so much of the publican. God have mercy on me. God have mercy on me. And so after the service was over, he came walking over to me and he wanted to talk, but he couldn't. And he just handed me this note and it said, "I'm homeless. And after they kick me out of here, I don't know where I'm going. I only have one pair of clothes. I don't have any shoes, they're ripped up, and I don't even have underwear on. Could you please help me? Anything. I can't repay you, but I wear 34 pants and large shirts. Can you please help?" Of course I can help. It took $25 at the Walmart to fill a sack up for this guy. I never saw him again. He literally did not have the strength to look me in the face and ask me for it. He handed me this note and walked away. And so I handed the nurse the next day. I went back in and I handed him a bag and I said, "I don't even want the guy to know that I gave this to him." And she said, "Oh, Ronnie," she said, "we were fixing to kick this guy out of here this morning and a mission called out of nowhere and said they were going to take him in." Amen. And so I want you to understand, it's easy for us to cry and tear up thinking about somebody that's helpless and destitute. But guys, it goes so much deeper than clothes. The hearts of this world are empty. And only the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to fill that. And you and I have been commissioned to go and share that with them. I would love to think that all of y'all would get on fire and come do that. Some of you can't. But please continue to pray. And please continue to support us. And if God puts it on your heart, get in touch with Marty. Get in touch with Shelley. Come help us. The field is wider than the harvest. I want to share one more Bible verse with you. And then I'll be finished. In Philippians 4:19, it says this, "And my God will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Y'all remember when Jesus told the disciples to pray? He said, "Pray. Because the field is wide in the harvest." And what do we need? Workers. Go and pray, because We need workers in the field. Guys, who went? They did. They were the answer to the prayer. My God will supply all of your need according to His riches. And you know what? He uses people like me and you to supply that. Amen. Amen. He uses people like me and you with what little we have. He can make anything out of it. And so please, guys, I hope that you understand how special the gift that you have been given in eternal life is. And one of the greatest proofs that you have it is your willingness to go and share it with others. Please do it. Amen? Amen.
Well, it's kind of hard to follow that up. I want to share a little bit with you on how you can partner with His Love Ministries. You may be sitting there thinking, well, you know, I'm like, what can I do? Well, earlier I asked you to fill this out with your name and your address and your phone number and email. There's many ways that you can help. You can commit to pray for us. You can commit to come volunteer with us. Some of you are in a situation where you can help financially. Unfortunately, it does take money to run a ministry. Some of the materials that we do purchase, we give everyone a Bible that needs a Bible that we come in contact with, that we minister to. A lot of them go to the kids at Coastal Harbor because they come there, they don't have a Bible. The adults at Coastal Harbor and over at the Youth Detention Center and Greenbrier, Georgia Regional. So it takes a lot of Bibles to give them out to all these people that we minister to. And there's samples of some of the Bibles that we give out there. We also have music books that we use at the nursing homes. We have like PA material. How do you call it? What you call it? A PA system? PA system. So there are materialistic things that we have to buy with this ministry to do this ministry. We also give out discipleship material and different things like that to help them in their growth. So like I said before, if you can just take this schedule home with you and pray for us, if you see any area that you could kind of come and help volunteer with, you can contact Marty or I think our contact information is on the brochures over there. Oh, it is on the interest card. Okay. Marty's phone number is on there, so give him a call. And we do have a Facebook page. Thank you, Ronnie. His Love Ministries Facebook page. We're on Twitter, too. So you can either contact Marty through Facebook, too. And if you go in, you can like us on Facebook and kind of get some updates there. And we have a daily reading through the Bible that is posted. Ronnie posts that on the Facebook page, too.
Links to our sermons and other
links to the sermons and all. We also we're partnered with Kroger with their community rewards. I've got this information on your program. I'm sorry, my mind's gone. I can't think. So if you shop at Kroger, go online and you can set up a community. It says on here, our nonprofit number is on there, and you can set it up where when you shop and swipe your card, a percentage of that money that you spent will be donated to His Love Ministries. And it does not take away from your rewards that you get when you shop with your Kroger card. Also, Amazon Smile. If you go on Amazon Smile, you can select His Love Ministries of Savannah, because there are a couple other His Love Ministries, so you have to make sure it's the one in Savannah, as your nonprofit for charity. And a percentage of what you buy on Amazon Smile will go towards His Love Ministries. But you have to go through Amazon Smile, not just Amazon. Okay?
I love Amazon.
Yeah, Smile. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for coming out and hearing how God is working.
Huh. Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you.